Now today, by the help of the Lord, I want to begin another message here dealing with the Christian. Today in your Bibles, I'm going to read my text verse that I have read for other messages that I've preached along these lines in Acts chapter number 11 and verse number 26. Acts chapter 11, verse number 26, the Bible said, talking about Barnabas and Saul, or the Apostle Paul, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, we've been looking at the Christian in different areas at different times, and there are several messages a man could preach on the Christian in salvation, the Christian in the Scriptures. I did a radio message on the Christian in sickness, and today I want you to look in Matthew. This is another text verse. I'm going to be turning several places during this, and I probably, it'll be up to the Lord whether I finish this message in one message or not, but Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 28 will be our thought for this message, the text for the thought for this message, Matthew 11, 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's talking about the sinner coming to Jesus. And of course, he gives him rest, and he gets saved by the grace of God. Then, in verse number 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for, the Bible said, unto your souls. Verse number 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, God is simply saying to you and me that he wants people to be saved. There's no question about that. God wants people to get saved. But then after they get saved, he said, take my yoke and learn of me. God wants his people to learn of him. One of the greatest verses in the Bible is Psalm 118, verse 19. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Can I make a statement here on the radio today before I get into the message of the Word of God? That many people live their lives, now I'm talking about saved, born-again people. I'm talking about born-again, saved, washed in the blood people. They live their lives never to learn a lot about Jesus Christ. Now, they think they know a lot, and if you talk to them, it's, oh, I know that Bible, I know this, and I know that. But their lives don't back that up. But friend, when you begin to know him personally, I married my wife several years ago, and I want to know everything they ought to know about her, and then she knows everything they ought to know about me. I want to, and we learn things about each other even every day. And so, that's the way it is with Christ. Now today I want to preach on the subject, the Christian and schooling. The Christian and schooling. Now, our Father, I confess every sin. Come and help us today. Now, be no preaching, Lord, unless you help us today. So I pray that you would do that, Lord, and help us, Lord, today, that we might learn the Word of God together. In Jesus' holy and wonderful name I pray. Amen. Now, I want to begin here, and actually, this is a unique message in the sense of the first four points. I'm not going to dwell on as long as I am my final point of this message. And the final point of this message is going to be rather lengthy, and I'm going to deal with five different people in the Bible about schooling, and one of them, Lord willing, we're going to deal with longer than the others. First of all, let's just look at today, and I believe the first man we'd look at is John Mark in the Bible. I believe that John Mark had some schooling. Now, let me give you the story behind John Mark. In Acts chapter number 15, Paul tells Barnabas that they ought to go back through the churches that they've just been through, and Barnabas wants to take his sister's son, his nephew, John Mark, with them. And Paul don't think it's a good idea because John Mark left them and wasn't faithful to the work in Pamphylia. I would stop and say this right here, that any preacher that is not faithful should not be in the ministry. Amen. Can I just stop and interject this? It is time we quit cutting corners with people in the ministry. It's time that the ministry is not a vocation. It's not a job. It's not a career. And fellas, if you feel that way, you do everybody a favor just getting out of it. Amen. The ministry is a calling from God. Okay? It's a calling. Now, but let's read If you want to take a Bible and follow with me, in Acts chapter number 15, I'm going to read verses 37 and 38. Acts chapter 15, verses 37 and 38. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark, but Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, the Bible said, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Now, I don't know why he departed. I got no idea why he departed, but he departed. He wasn't faithful in that work. And so now he was saved. He was born again. He was God's child, but he departed. Now, saved people can go astray, okay? They can, and we must realize that. We must rightly divide the Word of God. And so it's not all black and white. Sometimes people say, boy, I sure wouldn't have any mercy on him or her, what they've done. Well, now, hold on just a minute. God has got a whole lot more mercy than me and you does, amen? One fella came to my church one day and he said, if I was God, I'd kill everybody. I said, I'm glad you're not God. Amen. God deals in mercy, ladies and gentlemen. And let me say this, when a man's truly repentant, then I believe that God will help me. We'll get into that in just a minute. But now let me go to another verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Can I read these verses? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now we're talking about the Christian in schooling, and we're talking about John Mark right now, and we're talking about him being schooled in the things of God. He's getting ready to learn a valuable lesson. He departs from the work. He leaves it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 4, verse 1, talking about the preacher. Let a man so account of us as of the ministry of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, let me say this to you. A steward is a manager. Can I say this, and I don't want to dwell on this a long, long time, but if you're a preacher, if you're a God-called, born-again preacher, God has placed you in a place of management, whether it's a church, and primarily preachers are in churches, pastoring churches. And let me tell you, you should never take that lightly, that you're the pastor of a church, okay? You should never take that lightly. Now, it could be leading other ministries. Some men lead mission boards and other things. And even if you have a ministry, I have a radio ministry. And I should never take lightly what God has given me to do. God has put people in my trust every day of my life to reach. And I tell you, the older I get, the more I realize the response. When I was young, I didn't realize that. I mean, I just preached and I didn't think about it. And I half-heartedly preached. I'm telling what I preached. About like one preacher, about 90% of what I preached probably wasn't even in the Bible. I'd preach against everything. I didn't know. I thought that's what you did. And what I've learned, and I've not learned better, men, okay? Well, you've learned better than to preach on sin. Oh, I still preach on sin, buddy. Amen. Because but you got to do it in the right way. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. What I'm trying to say to you is this, that God has placed us in a high position. Not that we're better than anybody. If you want to know the truth, we're more of a servant probably than anybody. A preacher is more of a servant than anybody else. I was reading the other day in 1 Kings. If Solomon would have stayed with this thought, he would have been established over Israel. The house of Israel would have been under him forever. God would have established his kingdom. It would never have split into two parts. Never would have. If in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon said, I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in. If Solomon would have stayed that way, I tell you, he would have got something done for God. It's kind of like the young preacher was. And he hadn't been preaching very long at all, and he got a chance one day to preach with the older men or the most well-known preachers. He took his Bible, he jumped up in the pulpit, and he said, open your Bibles, please. And boy, he was just all kind of cocky and ready to go. And all of a sudden, he couldn't preach. I mean, he said, and he lost his outline, lost his place. He began to cry. He began to weep. And he just quit. He closed his Bible and came down this week, and he sat down beside of an old preacher. And that old preacher put his arm around him and he said, son, if you'd have went up to that pulpit like you came down, you'd have came down out of that pulpit like you went up. Now, let me tell you something, friend. Humbleness is a thing we need in this day and time. We as preachers, sometimes we think we're God's gift to society. We think we're authority and we're... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. God could take me out of here anytime He wants to, and God could take you out. Somebody said, well, God needs me. Where'd you get that at? God allows you to do His service. God, but a steward must be... Let me ask you a question. If you had $10 million, and you had a chain of hotels, and a chain of gas stations, and a chain of restaurants, and you had different men working for you, Sam was over your restaurants, and John was over your hotels, and Clyde was over your gas stations. All right, let's just say that old Sam did a good job with your hotels and John did a good job with your restaurants or however it was. But old Clyde with your gas stations, he just let everything kind of go. He came to work when he wanted to and he just let others do what they want to. And you had millions of dollars, so you didn't worry about it. But all of a sudden you began to notice your gas stations wasn't making a profit. And you got checking into it, and there's old Clyde. He's just wasting time and wasting money. You know what he is? He's a bad steward. Let me say to you, we as preachers have a great responsibility. We have a responsibility to be faithful. We have a responsibility to be faithful in prayer, faithful to our Bibles. We have a responsibility to God, you see. And so Mark's getting ready to go to school. Now, let me show you Proverbs 24 and verse number 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Well, now he didn't fall into mischief. He failed. But there's one thing about Mark, he got up. Now, the Bible does not record when Mark got up or how he got up, but John Mark got up. He failed. Now, let me say this to you. I believe, and there had to be, some amount of repentance on John Mark's part. There was not this, and I'm just going to deal with this on the radio, and I'm probably going to rub the cat the wrong way when I say this. I believe that when people, and it's not what I believe, what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches, when people mess up, we ought to forgive them. And we ought to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. That's what the Bible says for us to do. But we stop right there. We stop right there. And we allow preachers and other people to commit any kind of sin they want to. And never repent. They go off, they get a different church in a different part of the country, they want to start all over and escape their problems. And let me tell you something, it don't work that way. It does not. But the Bible said, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. And a man that covers his sins will never, never prosper. Listen, instead of covering your sins, get converted from them. Get right with God. There had to be, because Paul would have accepted nothing less than some repentance out of Mark. And I'll tell you how I know that. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 10. Here we are. Here's this man. And I cannot pronounce this man's name, so I'm going to spell it to you. A-R-I-S-T-A-R, Aristarchus, I guess it is. My fellow prisoner saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas. The Bible said, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. All right? What Paul is simply saying, and then he said another place, bring Mark, for he is profitable unto me. Mark got repented. Now, let me tell you how I know Mark repented. God used John Mark, and by the way, it was his mother's house where they was having the prayer meeting for Peter in the book of Acts. And God used this man to write the book of Mark, and he wrote it as a servant. He wrote it swiftly, 16 chapters. It's the shortest gospel. And he wrote it as a servant. Now, Mark, my friend, is a great man of the Bible. You know what he did? He went to school and he learned from a failure. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever had a failure in your life? Well, God can use you again. Now, there may be, Mark didn't mess up so bad that he couldn't be used. There are certain areas that if a man messes up, he disqualifies himself. And you can't go back and try to be used in those areas. And I do want to say this. When you're apologizing or repenting for an error that you've made, don't ever stand in front of a group of people and say, if I've done anything wrong, don't ever do that. Any apology that you ever hear that starts with, if I've ever done anything to you, that apology is not sincere. You need a man to tell you, hey, I've wronged. I've done. Mark knew he done wrong by not going to Pamphylia. Mark knew he done wrong. And whatever it was, he got it right. The Bible does not record him getting it right. I don't know why Jesus didn't record that. That's up to the Lord. I don't know why he didn't. But here we do. Here we go with Mark, and he learns from a failure. Now, the second person I want to learn about, I'm talking about the Christian and schooling. We're going to learn some things in our lives. The second person we can learn from is Mary. There's a woman named Mary. Now, if you have a Bible and you want to follow with me, you can go to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke, chapter number 10, and verse number 39. Luke, chapter 10, verse number 39. And this is talking about Martha and Mary. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, let me give you a little background on that. In the book of Luke, you have two sisters. You got Martha and you got Mary. Now, Martha, it is as saved as Mary is. Martha loves Jesus and Mary loves Jesus. But Martha is busy serving. I mean, she's so busy making sure the color of the napkins, the color of the plates, the spoons match, everything's fine, the food looks decorative. I mean, she's attending to things. And Mary decides she's going to sit at Jesus' feet and hear what he says. Now listen, there's a great, great precept. There's a great, great truth right here that you and I need to learn. There's nothing wrong with serving the Lord. But many people today, and this is the attitude of most people in the church today, the busier I am, the more I'm doing for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to make a statement that I heard a nationally known preacher make the other day. He's already gone to glory many, many years ago. Matter of fact, I was barely saved or wasn't even, no, I wasn't even saved when this man died and went to glory. But his ministry lives on. But I heard him make a statement the other day. And when he first made the statement, I had to stop for a minute. And I thought, do what? What did he just say? But the more I thought about his statement, the more I say he is absolutely, positively, 100% right. And here's the statement. He said, God has not called us to win the world. Now, wait a minute. Hold the mule just a minute. He said, God has called us to witness to the world. We have the idea that we can win the whole world to Jesus Christ. It ain't going to happen. It never has happened. It never will happen. It didn't happen in Billy Sunday's day. It didn't happen in D.L. Moody's day. Now, wait a minute. That should not stop us from working. I'm not discouraging people from working. Matter of fact, I think we need more laborers. The Bible said we're to pray for laborers. That word means workers in the field. We're to pray for them. The Bible said the fields are white, all ready to harvest. But we're so busy. We're so busy inventing all these ministries that you really got to wonder, are they really reaching people? And I tell you what we forgot is the main ministry is the preaching and teaching that's coming out of that local church. Now, you may not like what I'm saying, but it is true. The main ministry for the church is the preaching and the teaching that's coming out of that. But it's not necessarily all what you do in the community. And it's a lot of churches have become community-oriented. Now listen, what you do is your business, okay? Because I've been accused of telling preachers how to pastor the church and all that. But I'm just simply telling you that sometimes we as preachers, I know preachers that, you, and honestly, I would never do this. I know men that have campaigned for funerals. Now, you got to be hard for a place to preach to campaign for a funeral. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. I know men that have campaigned for any place they could get to preach. They campaign for it. Well, let me say this to you. If you're called of God, I've been called of God for 34, almost 35 years. Can I tell you something? I have never been without a place to preach. If God calls you, He will put you in the place where you ought to be go. But anyway, I said that to say this. A lot of people think the more they... Well, I did 3 funerals this week and 2 weddings, and I visited 17 shut-ins, and I did this and did that. Does that make you spiritual? You know what Mary did? The Bible said that she hath chosen that good part. The Bible said she sat at His feet. Now, in the Bible, when you sat at Jesus' feet, that or you sat at anybody's feet, it is a type of learning. The Bible said not only she sat at His feet, not only she humbled herself, but she sat at His feet, and the Bible said she heard his word. She sat at his feet and heard his word. Let me tell you, I think that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We're not hearing the word of God. She heard his word. You know what? Faith comes by hearing. I'm afraid that we're not hearing from God. Now, I'm not just here talking about church. I'm going to ask you, do you have any private time with Jesus? And I'm going to tell you the biggest failure in Ricky Cothran's life in the past 30 years. And I'm going to give it to you right here. It's going to shock you. But when I was a young preacher, I meditated a lot in the Bible. I meditated. And buddy, I'm telling you, that was my schooling. And I will not lie to you, I've gotten away from that in the last 30 years. And I have missed untold blessings by not meditating more in the Word of God and having a personal relationship with God. And I'm going to say this, I might have caused some of the problem. I put a message out. By the way, I still believe in the prayer list. I still use the prayer list, but I put a message out on how to get a prayer list. But I'm going to say this, if praying down that prayer list is the only praying you ever do, then that's not a good relationship with God. Now listen, I'm not saying you pray 24 hours a day. I'm not saying you pray 2 hours at a time. But sometimes, you know, the Bible used the word prayers many times in the Bible with the S on the end of them. Why not pray to God 5 minutes and go about it your way and then pray to Him, talk to Him again maybe for 10 minutes and go your way? Listen, you know, God wants to be your friend. God was a friend to Abraham. Do you know God is a friend? I mean, Mary got schooled in Jesus by hearing His word. I tell you, we wouldn't make so many bad decisions in our life if we would sat at Jesus' feet and learn His word. And I'm not just talking about in some Bible. I'm not knocking Bible college. But I'm going to tell you, preacher, something you will never get in Bible college, what you'll get sitting at His feet. Now listen. I'm not saying not go to Bible college. That's fine. But I'm saying along with the Bible college, you need to sit at His feet. And some of the best praying you'll ever do is when you're sitting at His feet and the Holy Ghost is doing your praying. I'm not talking about a vision or a dream or something crazy. I'm talking about Bible. I'm talking about God said the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. There are things sometimes I don't know what God's will is about that. So I stop and let the Holy Spirit do the praying. Sat at His feet and heard His word. Man, she went to school. Wouldn't you like to go to school like that? Ain't that a great way to go to school? You sat at His feet and hear His word. Boy, ain't that great. Now, number three, let's talk for a minute. We talked about John Mark and we talked about Mary. Now let's talk about the wild man in Mark chapter 5. Let me give you a little background on him. There's this man in Mark chapter 5. Matter of fact, Matthew said there were two of them. They were in the tombs. And I believe they were in an immoral relationship, what I believe, these two men, I believe that. And I don't know where the other one went, but one of them got saved. But one of them had 2,000 demons, living on the inside of him, 2,000. He lived naked, he lived in the graveyards, in the tombs, he cut himself, they'd bind him with chains, and that couldn't help him. It's kind of like this, you know, that we want to reform everybody in society. Let me tell you something, the only reforming is Jesus Christ saving them, and I'll tell you right now, when you get converted, you'll get changed. And if you didn't get changed when you got saved, you didn't get saved. Amen. That's right. I didn't say you wouldn't never sin again, because you will. But I promise you this, when you get saved, it's different now, buddy. Amen. That's right. The things you used to do, you don't want to do anymore. And the things you didn't want to do, you do them. All right. But anyway, this man's got 2,000 devils in him. And Jesus shows up. And one of the most amazing verses in the Bible is the book of Mark chapter 5, verse 15. And they come... Now let me get my pages together. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Notice the word was. And had the legion, the word legion means many, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They came and they saw a man changed. They saw a man that was in school. They saw a Christian that was going to school. And he got saved. He had 2,000 devils in him. But when Jesus got him, he set him down. First thing he did, he had him sitting. He wasn't wild anymore. He wasn't running around anymore. He was sitting. Sitting is in a position of humbleness. Sitting is in a position of learning. This man was sitting to learn something from God. I know we don't use the word fat much anymore, but back when I was growing up, we used the word fat quite a bit. There's nothing wrong with the word fat. It's in the Bible. And one fellow said, how you be a fat Christian? F-A-T is this, be faithful, be available, and be teachable. Now, without the T, it's just fat. But if you put the T on it, it's fat. You want to be a fat Christian? You got to be teachable. I know people that have gotten saved, and they say, I know they all are. No preacher ain't going to teach me anything. You ever heard this? Well, I'll just tell you right now, I lean on God for what I get. I don't listen to man. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're heading down the wrong road right there, sir. You're going down the wrong road. Listen, you need to listen to men that are in authority and men that have been down the road over you. I never forget this, several years ago in a service, Dr. Bobby Robertson came in, and I don't know if he knew me at that time or not real good, and Dr. Bobby came in and sat right down beside me on the front row. And Dr. Bobby wanted to talk, and I didn't know nothing to say to Dr. Bobby Robertson. I didn't have anything to say to him. I mean, he was so smart in the Bible. He had been with God. He knew more than I. I didn't know what to say to him. I had no idea. I had nothing to say to that man. I had nothing to say to him. And when I get around men that are older than me, I've learned the best thing me to do is be quiet and let me listen. Let me learn. Let me listen to them and let them tell me what's going on. Amen. That's right. And so this fellow's sitting, and then he's clothed. I believe this fellow learned something about his position in heaven, his setting, and that has to do, my friend, with his spiritual condition. He's not wild anymore. I believe the man learned, and then the physical. You know, I believe he went to school about the physical. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to, but a Christian ought to wear the right kind of clothes. Amen. That's right. Amen. I mean, ladies, you ought to wear the right kind of clothes. You ought to dress right where that men will not lust after your body. You say, preacher, ain't none of your business what I dress in. Well, if you go to school, you'll learn that God wants you to dress right. Amen. God, if God clothed this man, then nakedness is a sin. Amen. Public nakedness is a sin in places. I mean, you know, people nowadays, I mean, they go out in public and they don't wear enough clothes. Amen. Clean my glasses on, you know. And here's the deal. I mean, and men too. And God learned and taught him. And in this crowd, you got a crowd there. Oh, it's not what's on the outside. It's what you put on the inside, sir. You get the inside cleaned up, it'll clean the outside up. You won't have to worry about that. When you get a man saved, if he's got a ponytail 7 foot long, he'll get a haircut because something in there tell him to. Amen. You won't have to worry about that long. Well, then he did something else. He said, and in his right mind, this man went to school and learned what was mentally right. I mean, Jesus taught him all in just a few minutes. He went, now I'm going to show you something in a minute. I'm going to show you something about this. Now listen, hang on to the mule just a minute. I'm going to show you something in a minute. Jesus taught this man. This man was in his right mind. This man began to think right. Now, do you know that if we get Christian people in the Bible, they'll start thinking right? Do you know we got people right now that say they're Christian that believe it's okay to have an abortion? Do you know we got people right now that is sympathetic to the homosexual movement in our churches? Do you know that we got people right now that is sympathetic to gambling and lottery playing and drawing for this and that? They're sympathetic to it. Why? They're not in the Bible. But if you get in the Bible, you will think. By the way, did you know you got some people sympathetic right now to global warming and climate change? Did you know there's not a bit of truth to it? Let me tell you. Take Genesis 8:22. I heard on the news just yesterday. Heard on the news yesterday that the world was going to end in 12 years. Let me say this to you. I believe that climate change is going to be the big lie of the Antichrist. That right now, that's the way it's going. If Jesus came with the rapture right now, they'd blame it on climate change, how everybody disappeared. They would. That's the big lie of the devil right now. And scientists have not proved that the world's going to... Matter of fact, one of the National Weather Services disagrees and disputes that altogether. Genesis 8:22 says, and I'm not quoting the verse word for word, but it talks about seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and heat, summer and winter shall not cease while the earth remaineth. Let me tell you who's got control of the earth. God does. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't believe in man poisoning the environment and killing everybody. I don't believe in that at all. Somebody said, well, you're not sympathetic. Oh, no, I don't want to see people dump poison in rivers and all that. And I believe there are some of that. And I believe companies ought to be responsible and act right and do right by their products and all that. And there's a right way and wrong way to do things. They say our oceans are full of waste, and that's wrong. That is wrong. But let me say this to you, that when you get in the Bible, you're going to think about everything the way God thinks. When you really get in the Bible, somebody said, Catherine, you're why do you think the way you do? Well, if you'll stay in the Bible, God will give you wisdom. God will give you some insight about a lot of stuff if you'll stay in the Bible. You know, there's some people, they'll swallow anything. I mean, you could tell them that you rode a goldfish, it turned into a horse, and then he turned into a robot and drove you on a golf cart, and they'd believe it, amen? I mean, let me tell you something. People believe anything. And here's the deal. You get in the Bible, you're going to think like God thinks. Let's think like God thinks. Now, this man went to school. Now, I'm going to show you how this man went to school. He said, Preacher, I don't believe this man went to school. Well, I believe he did. Let's note on down in Mark chapter 5. In Mark 5, let me get my verses right, I believe. In Mark 5, and they're stuck together here, and the devil, he just don't like what I'm saying here. That's all right. We'll just stop and unstick them. Amen. And the Lord will help us right here. But in Mark 5, 15, the Bible says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Now let's go down. That's Mark 5:15. But now let's go down to Mark 5:18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Now notice verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him. Now he said this to him. He said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And verse number 20 says, and he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now notice the reading of the Scripture. It did not say that anybody got saved as a result of this, but it did say, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it did say that he went. Now let me back up. Here's this man, got 2,000 devils. Jesus saves him. He's sitting clothed in his right mind. Now, Jesus starts to get on the ship. They besought Jesus to leave because of their swine. They'd rather have their pork chops than have the Prince of Peace. But Jesus gets on the ship, and the man wants to go with him. And Jesus said, no. Now, Jesus already had, and no doubt that man saw Peter and James and John. He thought, man, that's going to be a good life I want to go to. And he said, no, you can't do that. You see, God calls different people to do different things, and I'll deal with that later if the Lord lets me get into that. But right here's the deal. Did you realize that God said, I want you to go home, and I want you to publish in Decapolis. I want you to, this same city that's running Jesus out of town, we say, well, they ran Jesus out of town, but the same city, he sent a missionary back to them. And by the way, this man had to have some schooling. How would he have known what to preach? He said, tell him what great things with an S on the end of the Lord done for you. I believe the Lord did some great things for that man. Amen. Probably put his family back together, his home, because the Bible said, go home. Now here's this man goes into Decapolis. Amen. And preaches in that region, and I believe that somebody said the word Decapolis means 10 cities. And he preaches. But here's the deal. No record of anybody getting saved. Now, they could have. I don't know. Said all men did marvel. They marveled at him, but they didn't. You know what? He was on a hard mission field, wasn't he? But I believe that man stayed faithful to the day he died. I believe he just kept going out and preaching to him every day. You remember what Jesus did when he was here? Jesus never saw him again. As far as I know, Jesus never saw that man again until Jesus died and went to paradise during the crucifixion, or if that man hadn't died but then he went to the third heaven, and Jesus never saw that man again until they met in heaven. And yet that man never forgot what Jesus did for him. That man went to school. Not only did he not forget salvation, but he never forgot what Jesus taught him. And he stayed faithful teaching and preaching and publishing the Word of God till he died. And that's what you and I will do. We'll go to school. Now, I want to thank God for the schooling in my life. I want to thank God for the men that He sent by to help me. I used to do this more than I do now, and I need to start back doing it a lot more, and I probably will. I used to listen to hours and hours and hours of preaching. And I need to get back to doing that. I really need to get back to doing that. And I tell you what, that's where you get you. I mean, listen to men of God preach, and listen to the right men of God. Listen to some older men of God. And let them preach to you and learn the Word of God. Amen. All right, now number four, we have looked at John Mark, we've looked at Mary, and we have looked at the wild man in Mark chapter 5. Number four, let's look at another man that went to school, and we're talking about the Christian and schooling. Now number four, let's look at the Apostle Paul. Now Paul was saved in a dramatic fashion on the Damascus Road. Amen. But now let's look at Galatians chapter 1 verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem, this is talking about after his conversion, to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. There was a period in Paul's life that he didn't immediately go up to the church. He didn't get man's influence. He got God's. But now wait a minute, I'm going to say something about that. But he went into Arabia. We don't know how long he stayed there, but he stayed in Arabia. And it was 3 years before he ever presented himself to the men in Jerusalem after that 3 years. But Paul didn't just go off into Arabia saying, okay, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to disobey he's not saying right here in this verse, I'm going to disobey the apostles up at Jerusalem. I'm going against what James and John and all of them teach. That's not what he's saying at all. You got to remember that Paul was a Jewish. Some people believe he was on the Sanhedrin. You got to understand, he was a master set at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Paul was a wealthy man. And I believe Paul had a copy of the Old Testament. Now, not everybody in that day had a copy of the Old Testament, but I believe Paul did. And I believe that because Paul said later in one of his epistles, he told Timothy to bring the books and the parchments. I believe the parchments to be the Word of God. And Paul out there in Arabia is not just sitting there. He's not learning how to hand a card out or post on social media, I'm open for meetings this week, or be in with the brethren and we got to get to the preacher's fellowship so the brethren will see us and get us to preach. Paul didn't do it that way. He got out in Arabia by himself. He got alone with God, just him and the Bible and prayer. And Paul became the greatest preacher of the New Testament. And I tell you, we need to go to school just getting along with God. The time that you spend on, listen, I believe that pastors ought to visit church members. But I don't believe pastors ought to be in the babysitting ministry. I believe you ought to allow your pastor. There are two things that the pastor is supposed to do in the book of Acts, and that is to pray and minister the Word of God. And if you're limiting your preacher, if you're tying his hands, then you'll stand before God on that. Now, I know preachers are busy, and I believe it's right for preachers to visit. And I sure was glad my pastor was there when my mama died, when my daddy died. And I was glad for that. But let me say this to you. The primary purpose of the pastor is to preach the Word of God. But before he does that, he needs to spend some time alone with God. The taters won't taste good if they ain't cooked. The beans ain't going to taste good if they ain't been cooked. The cornbread won't taste good if it ain't been baked. Amen. And listen, before you get in the pulpit on Sunday, there has to be some Arabia. There has to be some schooling. There has to be some Word of God. And God will teach you things that you'll probably never preach. I mean, because there'll be some much stuff that God will teach you. You can't preach it all. And when you get in the pulpit, don't try to preach it all. I think that's where we mess up. We try to give them everything. You can't do that. God said, here a little, there a little. But when you get in the pulpit, preach what you have learned out there in Arabia. Amen. Get a hold of God somewhere. If you don't have a place, I know preachers right now that tell me they can't hardly study, you know, in their home. There's so much, you know, noise and things going on. I want to thank God publicly for my wife. Everywhere that we've ever lived since we've been married, my wife has insisted that I have a study, and I thank God for that. That I can get in that study, and many a day on Saturday, she's seen me in there when we could have been doing other things, but she's seen me there trying to get ready for Sunday. And I'm not the hero. I'm nothing. But I'm just simply telling you, preachers, if you want something from God, you're going to have to get in your Bible. I told this on another message. I sat with a great Bible scholar one day at lunch, and I said to him, you sure do know your Bible. And his response was, shouldn't everybody? And it put me to shame because I don't know my Bible much. I've been saved over 41 years and been preaching 34 and a half years, and I still don't know my Bible like I should. I want to know my Bible. I want to know more about God. Schooling. Paul went to school. Now, I'm going to begin into the rest of this message that's going to take us for probably another message at least to get done with it. Now, I've dealt with Murray, and I've dealt with the wild man in Mark chapter 5, and I've dealt with John Mark, and I've dealt with the Apostle Paul. But now the man that I really want to slow down with and look at, the man that really went to some practical schooling that can help you and me, is the Apostle Peter. Now Peter's a unique individual. Peter often spoke when he should have shut up, and but Peter had faith that some of the other disciples didn't have. Peter's often been criticized for getting out of the boat, but I'll say this, he had enough faith to go walk on the water while the rest of them sat there. Amen. So I'm not going to say a whole lot about that, I don't think, today. But I'm going to look at Peter now, and as you look at Peter, you would see some things about him. And I have you, if you're following me in your Bible, to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 22. Luke chapter 22 in your Bible, Luke 22, and I'm going to begin at verse number 31, and I believe right here is where Peter went to school. That was a big change from Peter's days as with Jesus in the ship and on land as it was in the book of Acts. Peter was a mature man in the book of Acts, and he was not in the other Gospels. Now let's begin reading in Luke chapter number 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. Verse number 24, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now that had to be a stunning thing. Now the Lord just said to Peter, Peter, he called him Simon, Simon, first of all. He repeated his name twice. In other words, God was getting Peter's undivided. He called him by his earthly name, Simon, Simon, because Peter, God had named him Peter or Petros or little stone. But here he called him Simon. He said, Simon, Simon, Peter, he said, Satan that desired to have thee. Now God is telling Peter what's getting ready to happen to him, and Peter don't have enough sense to know it. Peter said, Lord, I'm going with you. Now, listen, I know that we've got zeal. But can we slow down and say that knowledge is greater than zeal? You better be aware, friend, that there's a devil out there ready to sink you no matter how much zeal you got. And I'm going to say that some of our gospel music of this hour and day, that they're going to whip the devil and beat up on the devil and all this. I don't like singing songs to the devil. I don't like threatening the devil. You better be careful about that kind of stuff, friend. The devil is a powerful being. And let me say this to you. God, you say, well, God has to allow him. Yes, but God might allow him to turn loose on you. God did allow that in the life of Job, and God did allow that in the life of Peter. And I want to say to you, you better be careful what you say. And I'm going to tell you, that shows me that a lot of this new gospel music is not spiritual, or it wouldn't be putting the devil and making fun. You better not make fun of the devil. Now, we're not to fear the devil like we are God. But you better be careful. I'll never forget this. Years ago in my young ministry, in my first church I ever pastored, I preached a message one night on demons out of Mark chapter 5. I'll never forget as long as I live. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, there's some strange things happened that night. The water fountain quit, just refused to work. It wouldn't even work, couldn't get no water. When I ended the message, the water fountain just started right back working. Never did know what happened to it. I know what happened to it. Amen. When I preached that message, I was feeling good. At the end of that service, I got extremely sick. And if I remember it right, I had to leave church in a pretty good hurry there, just sick. Let me tell you something right now. The devil is your enemy. And he's not to be played with, okay? The devil is as a roaring lion. You wouldn't go down somewhere and play with a lion. You'd get eat up, you know? So you better be careful. So now here, we're going to learn some things about Peter. We're going to spend the rest of our time now, the Christian in schooling. We're going to see a man that went to school and came out of it just fine, okay? So now let's get into some of this, and we won't have time to get into much more of it here, and we'll have to stop, but first of all, we'll notice Satan, and I've already covered it, but we'll cover it again. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, he warned him twice, behold, stop now, pay attention. Look, anytime you see that word behold, it means to slow down. We read the Bible so fast that we don't take time to see what's in the Scriptures. He said, behold, behold. Then he said this, Satan hath desired to have you. Satan hath desired to have you. The very purpose of the Satan's entire being is to have you. Number one, if you're lost, he wants to send you to a devil's hell. And you keep living the way you are, you keep rejecting the Lord, and you will end up in hell. Amen? You go one of two places when you die. You go to heaven, or you go to hell. There's no middle ground. There's no praying you out. You go to heaven, or you go to hell. It's plain and simple. Now, if you're saved, I can tell you God's plan for your life is success and happiness and prosperity. I'm going to tell you Satan's plan for your life is destruction and ultimately death. The devil hates the fact that the first person ever got saved by the grace of God. Why, the devil hated God's way so much. There wasn't but four people on earth, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Cain was lost, Abel was saved. Abel didn't go to heaven because he was good, and Cain didn't go to hell because he was evil. But Abel knew enough about God. His daddy had taught him. He brought the blood. And Cain said, Cain was the first man that ever went to hell. He said, I will deny the blood. I'm going to deny the blood. I'm going to come another way. I'm going to come by works. I'm going to do it my way. And let me tell you what, the devil sent him to hell too. He followed the devil. First man in the Bible ever followed the devil was Cain. And you can see that Cain had an influence on mankind. The seed line of Cain, the man Lamech, was the first man ever took two wives. God never intended for a man to take two wives at a time. But Lamech took two wives. And you see, that was that Cainology came out. And brother, I'll tell you what, that's the devil at work. Now here's the deal. The devil has a plan for you. And the devil's plan is discouragement, destruction, discord. I mean, it's the D's. Death. He has a plan for you. The devil wants to defeat you, and you better learn that you've got an enemy called the devil. I'm afraid most people don't think they have an enemy. I'll tell you again, I'm going to say it again. I feel like I need to say it one more time. I don't want to make you mad. Can I say something in love? The Bible said, preach the truth in love. This gospel music that is beating the devil up all the time, talking about whipping the devil, and talking about defeating the devil, you better be careful with some of that stuff. Some of it may be all right. I know some of it sounds good. I know that we want to go to church and shout that we got victory over the devil. But I'm going to say this to you. You may have victory over him on Monday, but you better watch him on Tuesday. Amen. Now, you've got victory in Jesus Christ. You've overcome the devil. The devil can't defeat you unless you let him. My daddy always told me, he said, son, don't ever get where you think you can do something. He said, for instance, driving a car. Now, my daddy, I guess he thought I would drive when I was a young man because I had more sight than I do now. But he said to me, Ricky, don't you ever get where you think you can drive a car. The day you do, you'll have a wreck. And I've adopted that philosophy in all my life. Like I told you earlier, if Solomon would have stayed with, I'm but a little child. But you know where we fail in our Christian lives? We think we can do it. You think you can teach that Sunday school class, that's where you fail. You think you can run that bus route better than anybody, and that's where you fail. Why, preacher, you think you can pastor better than anybody, and that's where you fail, man. And preacher, you think you're above some woman in your church. And yes, you've got a loving home, a loving wife, but you think you're, and you're talking to that woman, joking around with that woman, and texting back and forth with that woman. And I'm going to tell you what. Pretty soon the devil's going to get you. The devil's on your trail. You say, well, preacher, how long's the devil been on your trail? Since January 22nd, 1978. The day I got saved, the night I got saved in that altar, the devil started telling me he's fit me tooth and nail all these years. And if he ain't been there, he's sent a demon by to do it. And what he ain't took care of, my flesh is took care of. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil is your enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you, young people, you got an enemy? You got an enemy, amen? You young folk, amen, that have just gotten married. The devil would love nothing better to wreck your marriage and cause you. By the way, you get married, it's to death do you part now. You say, preacher, I just got married and found out we're not compatible. That's too late for that stuff. Amen. No, sir. Hey, listen. Let me tell you something. The devil's after your home. The devil's after your children. The devil's after your Christian school. The devil's after your Christian radio station. The devil's after your deacon board. The devil's after the... You better realize the devil... I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching reality, friend. And in this day and hour, the devil is distracting people. We better learn that, just like Peter had learned. Peter didn't even realize he had an enemy. He said, Lord, I'll go with you. I'll go with you to death, but I'm going with you to prison. I'll go with you anywhere. Wherever you go, I'm going. It didn't work that way. You may have that zeal. There are men sitting here right now listening to me, and I'll probably get a letter about this. 20 years ago, you were preaching the gospel. And you're sitting there, you're listening to me right now, and you had it made. You had a good church. You loved the Lord, but you forgot one thing. You have an enemy. And that enemy got to you, and that enemy destroyed you. And you're out of the ministry now. Now, you can still do something for God, but you're on the sidelines. You're out of it, man, as far as the influence that you had. You know why? You forgot you had a young lady. I heard about let me just say it like this. Young lady, you're in church. You love the Lord. And boy, all your teenage life, you thought, I'm going to marry a preacher. And you ended up, you married a bum and a hippie. You married a fellow that won't work. You married a fellow wouldn't get a job in the pie factory in the tasting department. And you say, and now you got three or four kids and you're not even in church. And you say, how in the world did this happen? I tell you, it happened, young lady. You forgot you got an enemy. I tell you, it had happened to you, amen, bus worker. You used to run the bus route on Saturday. Now you don't even go to church. I tell you, it happened. You forgot you had an enemy. Husband and wife, I tell you how it happened. Used to have the most loving home and the most loving kids, and now your kids are brats and the home's messed up and broken down, and mama's gone one way and daddy's gone another. I'll tell you what happened. You forgot you got an enemy. Simon, Simon, he told him twice, Satan hath desired to have thee. Satan's desire for every church, every preacher, every ministry, Satan's desire is to drag you down. The Christian in schooling, we're going to look at this man Peter. It gets better, I promise you. I know I'm closing on a gloomy note, but it gets better. Peter does go to school, and Peter passes the test, and Peter's okay. So we'll look more at the Christian in schooling, Lord willing. If you're not saved today, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wish you'd come to know the Lord before it's everlasting too late. Father, will you take this message and use it now for your glory? Save the sinner that's lost in Jesus' name. Amen.